advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously. A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
Hey kids, welcome to the podcast.
Which kids?
Oh, you guys, kids.
Oh.
Our fans, our listeners.
There's not too many kids.
I'm not going to call them fans. They're probably listening to hear us fail. That's what most people do. They just want to hear us fail.
I don't know if we have fans.
Can you hear? I know you can smell failure, but can you hear it?
When did I start doing the whiskey thing? Trying to figure out how many shots of whiskey I've had. For sure.
Since the beginning.
No, I don't think I did it in the very beginning. I don't think you did it at the very start.
We were a little bit in.
Yeah. So almost 150 shots for sure. We can count that much.
That was more than that.
Well, it's more than that, but.
Mm-hmm.
And there's plenty of times where you drink more than just the one shot.
And then all the drinking at home and at the bars and while you're driving.
Do not go to bars.
Yeah. During your day job.
Yeah.
During your night job. While you're sleeping.
During your blowjob.
I do have an embarrassing story about me eating pie in the middle of the night, though. So we had Thanksgiving, and James was supposed to bring pecan pie, but he injured himself, and we thought maybe the pecan pie wasn't going to make it, or he wasn't going to feel like making it, or he wouldn't show up. So I told my wife to buy more pies, so she bought some pies. Right. And then so there they are sitting on the counter, and then she had to work. And I was like, well, those are the extra pies. James is going to go. So I didn't take them to Thanksgiving. So they didn't get eaten. So Thanksgiving happened. And the next day, I feel like those pies are fair game.
Right.
Right. Like that was extra pies. That's as far as my knowledge, as far as I'm concerned. But then I have like the sleep thing where I eat peanut butter, which I've talked about before, unless there's something better. At Thanksgiving, I did not eat pie. Like I don't eat sweets. But in the middle of the night, I do eat sweets when I turn into the chupacabra or whatever I am. So I woke up and ate half of an apple pie. But it's not the big ass apple pie. It's the little apple pie. And then immediately, coming aware of what I did, I was like, fuck, I ate half of an apple pie. There's no hiding this. You know, what do I do now? Like, I can't hide. You can't mix the mashed potatoes.
Well, you have to eat the other half.
And just throw it away. I don't even remember. We had an apple pie? No, I ate half the pie, spun it around, and set the two pecan pies on top of it. So I would just deal with it later. Like, it looked like there was a whole apple pie to anyone else.
That's not going to work.
So nothing came of it. And then the next night, I had a piece of pecan pie. Still, I didn't get in trouble for the other apple pie, so I thought it was okay to eat some pecan pie. And I did the same thing in the middle of the night mind where I ate a piece of pecan pie, not a whole half of a pie, because pecan pie even in my
sleep. So you're telling me you're eating these pies and you're not consciously aware of the pie eating.
It's like I just don't fucking care. Like I could be on the most strict diet in the world, but when I wake up, I'm kind of, it's like you're drunk or something, and I'm not drunk, Brad. Before you say
I didn't say anything. You caught yourself.
Yeah. So I go in
it's
there.
Like, it's almost like you woke up drunk.
Huh? I become aware of the pie, right?
Uh-huh.
So then when I was found out, the shame and guilt that came along with the eating of the pies was horrible. And apparently they were intended for second Thanksgiving today when my in-laws came over.
What are you, a hobbit? What the fuck is second Thanksgiving?
Exactly. I didn't plan second Thanksgiving. She did. I was not aware of it. And so they were like partially eaten pies for second Thanksgiving because I'm a fat fuck in the middle of the night, apparently.
Well, who the fuck wants to eat a 3-day-old pie anyway?
Yeah, I think my pie's fresh.
Okay, well, at least I don't feel so bad. I feel like that shit was fair game.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Post-Thanksgiving.
I mean, you can't really get mad at you. You were drunk. I mean.
I was not drunk.
I'm just saying that the Thanksgiving pie code is that at the moment that dinner is declared over, Like, no one can be held responsible for any overindulgent eating from that point on.
And it's
like
everyone ate Thanksgiving.
Dinner's done. If you went in and ate the rest of the stuffing out of the fridge, fuck everybody else. You should have ate the stuffing before I got
here. It's first come, first serve.
Those pies were completely outside of the fucking the thing. They're outside the nest, if you will. You know what I mean? Those were extra pies in the first place.
Yeah, I had peach cobbler and vanilla ice cream for breakfast. That's fucking Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
That's Thanksgiving. Like pumpkin pie for breakfast, chocolate pie for breakfast.
I'm going to throw them away. If there's anything left when I get home, I'm fucking throwing it away.
You're going to eat them.
The other,
you drunk
I'm starting to diet tomorrow.
The other thing is that like they still sell pies.
That's what I said.
Yeah, they're not. Like in spite, like they don't stop at Thanksgiving.
You didn't eat the fucking
like
last pie.
You can still, like, even if you're having a weird hobbit second Thanksgiving, you could still go to the fucking store this morning and buy more pies.
Bring the last pie walker.
Other people have second Thanksgiving, I think.
We had two.
Yeah, see?
But before.
It's a white people thing, Dave.
I guess so. Yeah.
You have different sides of family, I guess. Who cares? It's Thanksgiving. Eat all the fucking pie you want.
And they're only $3.99.
I think you should be able to beat your wife too. Thanksgiving.
Is this so?
Super Bowl is different in my house. Yeah.
So, just want to give thanks. Shut up.
I'm still confused about the eating the pot. Like
I went to the doctor. It's a thing. It's
so so are you asleep?
It's like sleepwalking.
Or are you awake?
Except for it's sleep eating. That's pretty much it. I but wake up with the most ravenous fucking need for food.
It might be your underwear.
It's not my underwear.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
It might be your underwear. Mm-mm. You might need some of those
new... Champion C9s. They're awesome.
That might be it.
Mm-mm.
Yep.
You might need some of those new Fitty Cent underwears that he sells.
What's with them? What's the deal?
He has a line of underwear.
Are they anti-sleep eating?
It stops from sleep eating.
They cost $150 a pair. Mm-hmm.
You won't have food.
I would just
have to eat those.
Yeah, they're great.
Can't afford pie after that.
Yeah.
No, literally, pie. Like I wake up and I think like I don't think anything. It's like you were just ran a marathon. I need a drink of water, but it's peanut butter or something sweet. I even went and had my blood sugar checked. I had glucose tolerance tests. They put me on medication.
That's just
a
fat
while.
Coming out in the middle of the night. That's all it is.
Nah, man, I don't know. Well, what I did realize is that. As soon as I start eating, when I do become aware and kind of wake up, I have to piss something fucking terrible. And I think somehow that it's like confusing. Like my body thinks I had to pee or I had to pee and my body thought I was hungry. Like it's the wrong urgency for some weird reason. And they got mixed up because then I go pee and I just go back to bed.
That doesn't help my brain.
I'm broken, man. Some people
better.
Are deaf, man. I got that. That's just weird. I don't know.
Yeah. That and familiar pigeons.
Man, I might get some pigeons, man. I got a connection, man. I might get a couple
pigeons. That turkey looks real familiar.
It did remind me of last year's turkey. This is their skin tone, man.
Yeah. So you didn't put El Yucateco on anything you ate?
No, but my El Yucateco story for the week is this morning I was studying and my buddy came from LA and I was like, God, I can't let anyone interrupt me studying. And then my friend sat down. And started hanging out, but I miss him so bad. It was Pat Jimenez that I said, fuck it. And I just studied till the last minute before we started recording and hung out with him for a little while. But she brought out fucking spicy ketchup and set it down with his fucking frittata. And I pulled it out in like 2 seconds. I had an El Yucateco bottle out of my pocket and on the table. And I said, checkmate. I slammed it on the fucking table and set it on top of the spicy ketchup. And he had to use that instead.
Nice. Should have thrown the other one against the wall. That'd have been better.
Splashed it in the barista's eyes.
I didn't want to smell that stuff. He put a triple X that I gave him inside of his beer, and it was actually kind of cool. I tried it. Made some weird spicy beer. I don't know if that's
a thing. That's a thing.
That's a thing.
Like you'll put like lime and spicy and clamato and all that weird shit.
Clamato. Clamato?
Clamato.
Clamato.
All of a sudden, I think clamato. That sounds weird.
What?
All of a sudden?
All of a sudden?
Did you say clamato? That sounds way worse. I'm not ever saying that. I don't care.
Well, you can't. Yeah, Dave brought it to Brent's attention that he's been saying all of the sudden.
I don't care. I think it sounds better.
It's all of a sudden. And
add it to the dictionary. Somebody call Webster's. Mine sounds way better, man. I'm doing it that way.
Why do you always turn southern when you?
It's actually that I'm holding it back normally. That's how I normally talk. Yeah, this is my white guy voice when I talk right now. Normal man, when I mow my lawn and shit, man, I go build stuff in the garage.
My neighbor's got goddamn no doorknobs and shit. Fucking fence half built and shit.
I fucking talk, man. I'm from
mashed potatoes and gravy and shit.
You do dip into that every so often. Yeah.
It's when he's being defensive.
Yeah,
it's all defensive.
I'm just gonna fucking let my hair down, relax, talk like I talk this episode, man. I'm gonna fucking go for it. Fucking Fidel.
Be yourself.
Fidel fucking Castro.
Fidel castration.
Fucking socialist commie, man. Let's fucking go. I don't care.
Commie.
So Fidel castration. Fidel Castro recently died. We've talked about Cuba in the past, and we've looked at some of the crazy shit that goes on with Cuba. You can't really talk about JFK without talking about Cuba. So, if you want more about the nation itself, go back and listen to our Cuba episode. It was actually a really good episode. Dr. Rene Trujillo was our guest. He's from Cuba and he knows a lot about it, and he added a lot.
Oh yeah.
And
I forgot about that guy.
I distinctly remember you forgot about that guy because you were fucking drunk.
Was I?
I wasn't.
Oh, I was.
I wasn't going to bring it up.
Yeah. You were shit.
I call that. Pulling a Brent. I was looking for pie.
That was a touchy episode, man.
You were shit faced on that episode.
Somebody gave us whiskey or something.
You might want to turn your volume down on that episode, man. Just a couple.
Yeah.
Play at half speed.
That's right.
It'd probably be great.
That's right. Yeah. But we wanted to do a thing on Fidel Castro, look at his life, talk about what he did to Cuba. Because I think the thing that fascinated me is I kind of found out it was like there wasn't really much out about it. I was like seeing people post about it on Facebook, but there was nothing in the news feed. There wasn't like, it was just like this slow drip of information about the fact that Castro died. And I was like, did Castro?
I saw a really good meme. It said, Castro spent his life fighting capitalism and died on Black Friday.
I saw a really good meme.
Got him.
And it had Castro and it said something like, I will not rest until America is destroyed. And then under it was a picture of Donald Trump smiling. And then under it was a picture of Fidel Castro dead. I thought that was a pretty funny one too. But I was just like, the fact that depending on the city that you're in and depending on what part of town you're in, there were people who were like grieving and mourning that Fidel Castro, their hero, died. And there were people who were like celebrating and dancing in the streets because the evil dictator Fidel Castro died.
Yeah.
And that's a very strange.
You're talking about here, you're talking about Cuba.
All over the place. Cuba, I just kept reading in the news that there's this very mixed reaction of Cubans in Cuba and in America. I mean, most Cubans in America were celebrating because most of the Cubans in America were fleeing Castro.
The more I find out, like every time we do a topic on someone like this, I feel like we have the portrayal that America presents us of someone. Like sometimes I wonder if Kim Jong might be a good guy.
You're only exposed to what they give you.
Right.
Right.
You know what I mean? And when you go in and study, I mean, we've talked about this time and time again, we go in and study something. And you're like, oh, wait a minute. You know, I was never told that.
Right.
You know, and you go in and look at it and get a little more in depth and things change or they were a piece of shit, you know, one or the other.
And I mean, Castro, I mean, I don't know. I have a hard time making a final call on whether he was a piece of shit or not, because he did some shitty stuff. And who hasn't though?
But he honestly, you know? Like my final thought was like, he did it, in passion for the people. Like he believed in his convictions
to a point. I think he turned a corner though.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, that's opinion. Like he cross the line with some of the stuff he did, but if he didn't do it, then he wouldn't try to see through. He would not be able to accomplish the things he was trying to accomplish if someone had a revolt against him, you know what I mean? And so he was for his convictions until the end, no matter what it took,
right?
Because he believed what he believed was right and would be the best for the people as a whole, which that can be a scary thing.
It's just like being an employer or a boss or whatever. You can't make everybody happy. You know what I mean? So he's going to go off the assumption that whatever he's doing is right. Some people are going to want to flee. They're not going to want to be there. Other people like it and, you know, enjoy it.
Well, but the fact is that it's not just that they're fleeing because they don't like it. It's like there's like thousands of people being executed without a trial because they're against his regime. Like, I mean, there's a point where he crosses the line.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like there's a point where.
Well, Yeah.
Like, and I don't know where that point is, but as I like the early history, even like once he's already in charge of Cuba, I was like, most of what he did, I'm like, oh, I can kind of see why he did that. Like that's, yeah. I understand. But there's a certain point where he crosses this line and, you know, well, I mean, we'll get there and talk about it. But I, in a way, I almost feel like the United States backed him into a corner.
Yeah, we kind of made him and picked at him.
We kind of made him. I think we made him become worse than he would have been.
And I'm kind of fucking ashamed and embarrassed. Like our attempts at assassination and like attack and invasion. Like yeah. What the fuck? What we the keep fuck? Doing that. Like, why yeah. does it take so long?
Yeah.
We're the most technically advanced fucking country with all these crazy weapons. And we always fucking fail at that shit.
I always feel like stuff like that is bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, it was put out there in the media that, we tried to assassinate him and we couldn't do it. You know, we failed, you know, we failed at this. We failed at that. It's bullshit. Like it's a setup. Like,
no, I think
wanted him gone.
I think
sure.
a lot of CIA, I don't know. There's a lot of like Freedom of Information Act documents, like a lot of stuff that came out. That's like, no, that seems pretty fucking legit. We were really trying to kill that motherfucker. I think they exaggerate. I think Cuba itself exaggerates how many times we tried to kill him. But I mean,
our own accounts of it, though.
Yeah.
You know,
a trip.
Poison pins and all kinds of silly kinds stuff.
All kinds of weird shit. Yeah.
And he outlives everyone fucking down the line. Eisenhower, JFK, all the way through all those people.
Yeah.
If they had a crystal ball, they'd be fucking pissed.
Yeah, they would.
They'd be like, that motherfucker made it to be 90.
He made it to be
2016. We're all dead and he's still there.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump's president.
Yeah.
Like, what crazy
the, what the fuck's happening?
So Castro was born in 26 in, near a place called Baran, Cuba. He was a bunch of kids. The most famous of the others is his brother, Raul, who's currently, now that Fidel is dead, he's the one who was running the country. But his father was a wealthy sugar plantation owner. Like most people in Cuba, the majority of his work went to American companies. So he sold to the American owned United Fruit Company, which kind of dominated Cuban industry. And so it wasn't like they were rich, but they weren't like super poor farmers. He owned like a big fat plantation. He had the money to go to college. He had the means to go to college. And there was weirdness with his mom that I didn't know about. So apparently his mom, Lena Ruz Gonzalez, he had been a maid to his father's first wife.
Yeah, they split up and then he gets with the maid is what happens. Yeah.
But he got with the maid when they were still married.
Yeah.
So Fidel was born before the divorce even happened.
Oh, I didn't see it that way. I didn't read that timeline like that.
Yeah, she was still the maid when Fidel was born.
That's like, so it was Schwarzenegger.
Like, yeah, I was like, just going to say that. Schwarzenegger and the maid.
So he's like creeping on the maid, ends up having Fidel. And then from what I read, it wasn't until Fidel was 15 that his father actually fully dissolved the first marriage with the other woman and then married Fidel's mother. And then at 17, he was formally recognized by his father and his name was changed from Fidel Ruz to Fidel Castro. And when you see like his full name in a bio, it's usually got the Ruz somewhere in there because
Ruiz? He's still,
no, it's just Ruz, R-U-Z.
And he got sent away at age 6. Too. That always happens to all these guys. Like everybody, either you're serial killer or a huge accomplished billionaire, you're sent away at age 6 to some other school.
Yeah.
And he was sent away to live with his teacher.
Oh, I didn't see that part.
At age 6.
That's weird. Live with his teacher?
That's what it says. Yeah.
That's weird. But I know that once he got older, he attended a couple of colleges in Cuba. He was like very intelligent. I mean, he was a very intelligent student, very active student.
He got in trouble a lot in school when he was younger too. Like he actually threatened if they didn't, he got kicked out of some kind of a school and he wanted to go back so bad that he told his mom that he would burn the house down. He said, I will burn the house to the ground if you don't send me back to that school.
Yeah, he said, bitch.
Damn, yeah. You might have said that. El Bicho. He said El Bicho.
El Bichacho. It's El Bichacho.
That's right.
I'll burn this house down.
El Bichacho.
So.
You talking to me?
What?
He's like, una casa fuego, El Bichacho, man. That's how he said it. Just like that.
There we are.
That's just Spanish in there, man. Fucking.
Brent drove his fucking NASCAR race car down
if
here.
If I drink whiskey, man, I fucking start talking like this, man.
Fucking Dick Trickle over there.
So he ends up graduating college in 45. He goes to law school. And then when he's in law school, he starts to become radicalized. He starts to become a nationalist. He starts to focus on politics. And oddly, I found this odd, like he was actually, he was anti-imperialism because he hated what America was doing to Cuba. But he also early on was actually joining like anti-communist groups, which is kind of a strange thing
for infiltration.
Becomes communist. But this is all part of it. So he gets very political, gets his law degree. And this is in 45.
And he tried to run for the presidency of the Federation of the University of Students while he was in law school unsuccessfully. That was his first attempt
at
holding some sort of political candidacy.
So the next step should have been he should have like held a violent revolution, overturned the college, and then declared himself
the leader,
in charge of the student president. Government.
Yes.
He just wanted corn with mayonnaise on campus. Right. They needed more mayonnaise corn carts.
Chili powder.
With chili powder.
I don't think
and the chicharras.
Yeah, they only had one and they were way overpriced.
Yeah, you got to have the chicharras.
I don't know if they do that.
That's those puffy little orange wheels.
Yeah, you see, you know.
I know what's up.
I don't think that's Cuba. Fidel. I don't think any of that's Cuba.
It's all, not it's originally. All the same.
Not
it's
originally,
all the same.
Yeah.
Okay. They floated over. And they have the fruit cups too.
Yeah.
They probably
wanted the fruit cups.
They probably do have fruit cups. So in 1947, he starts to sort of join these other revolutions. He ends up going to the Dominican Republic and he joins this group that's trying to overthrow their country's dictator, Rafael Trujillo. It's a failed coup, but it's like right after law school, like he's hearing about these other Caribbean and Latin American revolutions where they're trying to overthrow dictators. And basically, at the heart of it, they're trying to overthrow people who are in bed with the United States,
yeah,
like trying to declare autonomy and get away from the U.S. And he's like trying to study under them and help them and try to foster these revolutions all over the place, because he's like at his core, even at a young age, he's just anti-United States. And he sees, you know, what U.S. imperialism has done to Cuba and how everyone just works for massive corporations that are making money. All the government is in bed with the U.S., whether it's oil, whether it's agriculture, like everything that has anything to do with anything goes back to the U.S. And he's really opposed to this from early on.
And as a result of his political activism, he actually received death threats while at the university and started carrying a gun.
Damn.
And continued going to the university, but just armed himself. Like, that's early on, man. That's legit, you know?
Oh, no. He was legit, like, from the jump. Like, right out of law school, he's, like, mixing shit up and trying to overthrow things. Yeah. Like,
there was even rumors that he had committed some type of, like, political assassinations at that time. Like, in years later.
Damn.
Like, accusations of, but he denies it all. So there was no actual proof. But possibly he had already killed people.
It's a different time in the world.
Yeah.
You know, like, we look at all these different events going on. You know, JFK with the communists and Russia and the wars and, you know, the Cold War and all this. It's just a different time.
Oh, you
know? I mean,
different.
Yeah, it's, you know, so
there was also accusations that Geraldo's mustache may have taken refuge inside of Fidel's beard.
And
that could have
sense.
Led to some of the charged political activism.
Yeah. That would make a lot of sense. So in 47, and this is the group. He joins a group called the Partido Ortodoxo, which is an anti-communist political party that's trying to reform government in Cuba. And again, the story just starts to get crazy. It's just fucking unbelievable.
Well, and this is all within the university too. Like that organization is within the university.
Yeah, it's a university organization.
They're fucking gang. Yeah.
It just means Party of the Cuban People.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they start to work with this cat named Eduardo Chibas, who lost the 1948 election to become the president of Cuba. But Castro studied under him and learned a lot with him. And the whole platform they were on was that this guy, General Fulgencio Batista, who's a former president, everyone thought he was going to try to seize control of Cuba, which ultimately, spoiler alert, he does. But they're trying to prevent this from happening because they see the writing on the wall. And then the thing that I thought was crazy, and this is why I was like, wow, this thing really starts to get, this is like craziness from day one. Like, he's even doing this legitimate thing, trying to back a political person to win a legitimate election to stop a coup from happening. And after the guy Chibas loses the election, he fucking shoots himself live during a radio broadcast and kills himself.
Nice.
And I was like, damn. Like shit, like from that point on, shit just gets weird in Cuba.
Maybe he stepped on some toes on his way. Maybe he knew, like if like I don't, he was like, all I'm in. Done. Yeah. If I don't win, I'm fucked.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah,
pretty much.
But shoots himself on a live radio broadcast. Like that's a fucking trip. But then again, same kind of thing. So he ends up learning a lot from this situation. Fidel was the next year in 48, he goes to Bogota, Colombia to participate in a bunch of riots and anti-government stuff that's going on there. And he, again, he's bouncing back and forth between these different countries that are trying to overthrow, governments. And then he ends up coming back. He marries a woman named Mirta Diaz Balart, who's very wealthy and starts to connect Castro into like big politics. And in these couple of years when he's married, they have a son. And,
Fidelito,
little Fidel Jr.
Fidelito. It's like little diapers and a beard. Like all that means is little Fidel. Yeah, yeah, that's what that means, literally. Yeah.
Fidelito? I'm just picturing a little bobblehead Fidel with a big beard on.
I didn't know he came to America so much because it happens a lot throughout this. But his dad sent him on a honeymoon with like $30,000 to New York.
Fuck.
Yeah. Or not his dad.
Her
his,
dad.
Yeah, his father-in-law. So
his dad.
He's living the lifestyle.
Money. Yeah. Shit, $30,000 for a honeymoon?
Back then. Yeah.
In like 1959?
Yeah.
It's
a 49.
Sorry, yeah. Fuck. Yeah. 49. Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn,
that's a lot of prostitutes. At one
point, that Bautista guy takes off with $300 million when he bails or at some point in time. Is that figure right?
$300 million?
$300 million and sometime in the 60s. Later, it'll come across.
Yeah, we'll come to, I think it was in 59.
How many prostitutes could you get?
That's a lot of
$30,000.
Like, seven,
like four really good ones.
Yeah,
four.
For life.
Four really good ones?
For life, though. Yeah.
For life, yeah.
Bartering slaves?
So in 52, Batista overthrows the government, which they were trying to stop through proper political channels. Batista overthrows the government, takes over, and he sets himself up as a dictator. And we talk a lot about this stuff in the Cuba episode itself, but he's like very much backed and recognized by the United States. So this guy overturns the legitimate government. He's willing to sign everything over to the U.S. And this is part of what the whole revolution is about. It isn't just to free Cuba from a dictator. I think it's to free Cuba from foreign interlopers, right? And this is what he's tapping into. And this is his passion from even early on. And then they end up starting a group called The Movement, which ends up being the name of the group forever. Like, I think it's still called that to this day. And this is when he starts to get much more involved. So in 53, this is where he starts to up his game. And he tries to overthrow and kill Batista, him and 150 supporters, and it fails. So they're captured, tried, and convicted, and Castro sentenced to 15 years in prison along with his brother for trying
to. Which we covered in the Cuba episode.
Yeah.
What's up? Yeah.
What? Well, and we were calling him a badass because he had like a little small army like trying to go up against a fucking nation, essentially.
Oh, yeah. And but, he just keeps the thing. I mean, at the heart of it, he is a bad. He has a small army and he keeps getting arrested. He keeps coming. He keeps going.
Yeah. He keeps going back.
And then even after he takes over, he's got a nation of 10 million people and he's like fucking poking the U.S. in the eye with a stick. He's like, fuck you.
Kind of stupid.
Like, their whole plan with that, they were going to get weapons when they got there and be able to like fight back with crazy machine guns and shit. And that whole attack was based off some other historical event that had occurred before when there was a coup.
The whole thing, though, like this whole thing, he does like what's the like there's no motive, really. Like, it's like just kind of like he's real passionate about is he just power hungry?
No, I think at this point he just wants America. He wants foreign influence away from
the U.S. had begun buying up like property. Yeah, and like financial interests. Yeah. Yeah. And he was like he's just so passionate about it. But he knows that most of the politicians are just in bed with the American companies and they're going to sit there and take it. And he's afraid that, you know, that it's going to have that separation of class, that there's going to be these elitists like there are, you know, the 1% type thing. And there's all these poor people that have lower living standards. And honestly, he's doing it because he believes so much about the people at this point. He really does want a better, quality of life for the lower class. And he's kind of like the dictator Robin Hood, you know, he's going to like,
right. And at this point, I'm still, I'm personally
you're on the Castro train.
I'm still on the Castro train.
This is in the 50s, though.
This is in the 50s.
Even Saddam at this point. I think this is how Saddam started out, too. Yeah. He was doing good things.
Yeah, at this point, I think he's still genuinely interested in trying to make Cuba a better place, trying to help Cubans. We're still only in 59, but this, I think at the beginning, this is very much what he wants to do. So after he ends up getting out of prison, he ends up getting an amnesty deal. He gets out of prison, but he has to leave. So he has to leave the country as part of the deal. And he goes to Mexico with his brother. And this is where he famously meets Che Guevara. And
but he ran some shit out of prison, though. He like writes a speech and has it published.
Did he?
And distributed. Yeah. He does all kinds of stuff from within and still maintains and runs like a political movement while in prison for 2 years.
Right.
And the whole way he got out of prison was he actually convinced three judges to say like, hey, we were acting against like a tyrant who unconstitutionally took over. He's like, we didn't attack, you know, the government. We went to attack someone who unconstitutionally took power. Yeah. Like someone came in and took power. He broke the law. Nothing he did was constitutional. He actually broke the rules and he's still sitting here. We did the patriotic thing and kind of swayed in his favor. And then enough leading politicians and political people said, you should grant him amnesty because of that. It might look good. Oh, and they didn't see him as a threat because at that point in time, the U.S. had their back with Bautista. They were still like siding. And he's like, Fidel's not a threat. You're right. We'll save face. It looks good in the eye of the public
dudes.
To give him amnesty, right? They're like, what's he going to do? It's just this guy.
Yeah, so, I'm sure at the time, he probably wasn't even on the radar as far as the United States was concerned. Who's this fucking guy?
Yeah, so they closely monitor him as he takes off, though. Yeah, they keep an eye on him for sure.
Wow. I didn't know he was that big of a player.
He lays low. That's when he lays low and finishes his law degree and whatnot, right? Or does he finish his law degree? No, it's afterwards.
I think he already has his law degree by this point. But he ends up coming back with a big, you know, a big roar. Once he gets with Che Guevara and he gets with a bunch of other people in Mexico, on December 2nd, 1956, he comes back on a ship with 80 insurgents. And at this point they come in and they're just like, fuck it. We're going to take the country back. Like me and my 80 homies are just going to take
MR
the country.
The MR-26-7 movement thing or the.
Yeah.
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 And, so Batista's forces just trump them, just fucking whoop their ass, kill most of them. A handful of survivors, including the two Castro brothers, sneak off into the Sierra Maestra mountain range. And then it's just a handful of people injured living in the mountains, running little guerrilla style attacks on Batista army outposts for a couple years. Like just
it was like 53 to 55, like for like 2 years.
But there's like no,
they're not used to guerrilla warfare.
Yeah.
You would look at this and you would think this guy doesn't stand a fucking chance.
Cuba.
Yeah. Like there's no, that's right. This guy doesn't stand a chance. It's him and a handful of survivors who live in the mountains and they're fucking attacking shit. And like, who cares?
Right.
Like why you wouldn't even give this guy the time of day.
He's like a fucking fly.
Yeah, exactly. But he just fucking won't.
I hate back down. Yeah.
While he was in prison, that's the thing I was trying to find is it's the famous "History Will Absolve Me" was his speech that he got published while he was there, and he continued to run the movement while in prison. And while he was in prison, he found out his wife got a job in government, and he's fucking super pissed. And he's stuck in prison. His wife got a job on the in the ministry.
She had to support herself. Yeah. Jesus Christ! She's sitting there in prison.
She could have
prostituted.
Yeah. She could have had sold pictures at the local market, a little Fidelito. The beard, the only bearded baby,
Nude little pictures? Why would she do that? That's child pornography.
No, he's not naked.
That's
it's
what you just said. I said nude pictures. You said,
I was just doing the Dave thing and it backfired. He told me before we started, just agree with Brad if he talks. Just agree
it never backfires if you do it right.
Yeah. It doesn't backfire on Dave.
You have to pay a little bit of attention.
It never backfires on Dave, always backfires on Brad.
Right.
This is perfect.
Yeah.
Great show.
But so over the next couple of years, he starts growing in forces, waging this guerrilla war against the government. He's organizing resistance groups in different cities and small towns. So his movement is slowly spreading while Batista is slowly becoming less and less popular in Cuba. And then one thing that I read, and I didn't really know the details, it said that Castro is able to organize like a parallel government, like a different type of government was running the cities that he was like... liberating or whatever. Like he started to
He came up with his own things like direct democracy and stuff. Like his style wasn't necessarily defined as socialism or communism, but as far as it running parallel to Batista's, I don't know, but I didn't read that part. But
yeah, I didn't know any details, but I saw some little blurb about that. But then eventually in 1958, after taking key parts of Cuba, and apparently a ton of people in the military defected and just bailed out of the army because it's like they're now getting orders to go into the mountains and shoot other Cubans and like assault other Cuban towns. And they're like, I didn't fucking sign on for this from a guy who's not even really our president.
Right. Yeah.
So tons of people in the military just bailed. And then Batista loses more and more and more popularity. And then eventually the revolution just spreads through all of Cuba. Batista sneaks out, like you said, with hundreds of millions of dollars, which I'm not surprised. I mean, he runs the fucking country. I mean, every bit of agriculture, every corporate, I mean, every factory, I mean, everything happening was
he's
going
taking
through
money,
his pocket.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it was right after a big celebration too. Like they partied all night and
it was New Year's Eve.
That's what it was. Yeah. And then they all just got on a plane and it says here that it was, he fled to exile with over $300 million on December 31st, 1958. That's so much money.
Exile where? Where'd he go?
Did
he go to secret prison?
Yeah, he went to secret prison. I was going to say I couldn't find it, but that was a lie, so I stopped myself. I didn't find it because I wasn't.
You didn't look that hard?
I just didn't look that. Because I even thought about it. I was like, oh, I wonder where he went to exile, and I wrote a note.
Because it doesn't say. It just says he went to exile.
Yeah, everything I read just kind of said he went into exile and had a fucking ton of money. So at 32 years old, Castro has successfully finally overturned Cuba, which has been his goal since he was a fucking 6-year-old who wanted to light houses on fire. which, you know, not bad for a 32-year-old lawyer who was like a couple years ago shot and bleeding to death in the fucking mountains. And now he's like somehow succeeded to completely overturn ultimately what was a dictator.
It was almost
took over the country.
Timing. Like,
yeah,
because he couldn't do it, you know, 4 years before, you know, it was just timing.
And a lot of people say that, you know, he and Che Guevara had just like a lot of military smarts, a lot of guerrilla smarts. Like they knew exactly what to do, exactly where to press, exactly when to attack, exactly when to back off. Like they were very savvy tacticians and they knew exactly what they were doing as they did this guerrilla, you know, warfare. But again, I mean, he'd been going to other revolutions over the years, seeing how they were.
Yeah,
I mean,
he had a lot of knowledge in revolutionary war.
They knew what they were going to do. So, and I didn't know this, but I thought this was really interesting. Like once he overturned, he didn't appoint himself as anything. He wasn't even part of the first government.
Yeah, what's the difference between prime minister and president in their form of government? Because he became the prime minister and appointed someone else.
Well, no. At first, the president was Manuel Urrutia, and the prime minister was Jose Miro Cardona. And I apologize to everyone that I don't speak Spanish and I'm butchering all these names.
That's right. And Castro set up in the Hilton, like to run operations.
And he was considered the commander in chief of the military. So it's like he runs the revolution, but he's like,
Hitler for a little while.
Yeah. At this point, he's not even trying to run the country, it seems. And I'm pretty sure it sort of follows the Russian model. I think the president is the one who calls all the shots the other way around. The prime minister is really the one who calls all the shots and the president is
sort of like the vice president.
Okay. Yeah. Like I think there's like usually the president has less, usually
it's the president is saying it's kind of different in every country, but Google is saying that it's like the prime minister is not elected.
Right.
And the president's elected by the people. So
I think a lot
the president's in charge of like the house type thing, you know, like how we have like the leader of the house.
Right. And so a lot of times in a lot of nations, the president's also kind of act as Secretary of State a lot of times. Like they do a lot of the diplomacy outside of the country, but usually the Prime
Minister. Australia, the Secretary of State's like isn't it a kangaroo or something?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes, like, that's accurate.
I hope so. With boxing gloves on.
Yeah. He has boxing gloves and he bounces on his tail.
Yes.
Well, during the summer solstice, but that otherwise he does not wear boxing gloves all year.
No. That's ridiculous. That's a stereotype.
Yeah. His paws would sweat. And you know what happens when kangaroo paws get sweaty. No,
that's you gotta ridiculous. Wear wraps. He wears wraps.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
You ever seen kangaroo claws? They're like 6 feet long.
That now you took it too far, sir.
And a bow tie. Yeah. He's always wearing a bow tie.
They can't clip their own nails, they have T-Rex arms.
That's true. That's why they have their babies in the pouch.
They're called CeeLo arms now. Just
CeeLo arms?
Yeah. Fucking CeeLo has the tiniest
weird He does have baby arms. Hands.
It is so strange.
I don't know if we've talked about that on this show.
I could mistake CeeLo for a baby.
If you haven't Googled CeeLo Green's freakishly small arms,
you'll come across T-Rex pictures immediately.
Immediately, yeah, because it's going to freak you out a little bit, and you're going to think CeeLo it's not arms. Right.
And there's no Photoshop involved. No. He has those weird hands.
The first two or three that I saw, I was like, this is bullshit.
Is it a disorder?
I don't know.
What if he was a professional boxer?
He's like
one of the guys on Mike Tyson Punch Out. Like you have to beat him. Like,
it's like Glass
you have to
Joe.
Each of them have their special way you have to beat him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He can never punch you.
Yeah. But I guess that's the price for having that sweet, sweet voice.
Mm-hmm.
While you guys were both on board with that. So within a month, though, the prime minister just sort of suddenly and abruptly resigns, and then Castro is appointed.
He was probably being smart. He's like, shit, someone just flee the country with all the fucking money. He's like, I'm not going to move into this broke-ass fucking situation. Like, let me let some people try to sort shit out and see if it crumbles. And
think Castro?
Yeah, like he's coming to save the day.
I think it would kind of go against what he just fought for.
It was like
a guy went in on rebound. Well, a guy went in and proclaimed himself the leader of the country.
Right.
He just got him out. If he went in and said, I'm now the leader of the country, he's a fucking hypocrite.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So he gets appointed prime minister, and who knows? Maybe the other guy bailed because Castro was going to kill him. Maybe he was muscling him out. Maybe that was the plan in the first place to make it look better. Or maybe he was just like, fuck it, so this guy bounced, I guess I'm going to do it. You know,
I feel like shit's going to be in shambles. Like, just wait to see. Let it be that guy's fault, and then I'll be like, hey, you want some help?
I don't mind.
I have a couple ideas.
But like right away, as soon as he becomes prime minister, he has hundreds of members of Batista's government arrested and given like either a very short trial or no trial at all, and then executed. So this is
you gotta clean house. New management, man.
This is where he's starting to.
You got
to
bring in entry level college graduates right away.
Yeah, he's starting.
It didn't take him that long. Pretty much as soon as he gets in, he's being an asshole.
Yeah.
Does he kill the prime ribister?
Yeah, he did. The prime ribister doesn't get killed.
Oh.
And ultimately, I think this is the key of what this conflict that's still going on between Cuba and the United States is that right away, Castro nationalizes all the farms and plantations so that the country owns all the farms. And this is according to Castro, so that everyone gets a fair shot at farming, so that there aren't just a handful of plantation owners who make all the money.
And
so the average person is like, wow, now I stand a chance to make some money. I can become a farmer.
Yeah, he puts a cap of 993 acres on land ownership. And then 200,000 peasants received title deeds for land holdings and broke everything up like that. Kind of socialist.
It's very much socialist, and it very much is a big fuck you to the U.S.
But if somebody had Boardwalk Park Place, man, you got to start the fucking game over, man.
Right,
you got to
right.
dump that shit off, start over.
Yeah. No, I mean,
I get to be the cowboy with a little fucking hat and shit, though. That's always my guy. You're probably the thimble. I bet Brad's the car.
I don't even remember. Wasn't there a top hat? I think I used to like the top hat. Right? Yeah.
Who are you?
Top hat. The Scotty dog.
Oh, yeah. The Scotty dog.
Yeah.
You're the That's dog. Weird. Who picked
And then like a weird shoe.
Yeah, the shoe.
The boot. It's a boot.
Scotty dog. The cowboy on the horse.
What the fuck?
There's a wheelbarrow maybe.
I think there might be a wheelbarrow.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah.
I was always the cowboy on the horse though.
There's a fucking dildo gun.
We should remake. Yeah. Oh, that's what we should do. We should make a Monopoly game and then make like fucking dictators the pieces and shit. So you could be like Castro or Saddam.
I'm Saddam.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody ever picks Lincoln. Piece of shit.
If you land on the theater, you can be Lincoln. You land there's on some the theater, advantages. Yeah.
You land on the theater, you pay everybody else all your money, you split it up evenly.
The game's over. The
game's over for you.
Everyone else keeps playing.
Actually, the other person who was waiting to play gets to jump in.
Yeah.
Piece of shit.
So, but again, like, granted, this is, you know, it's great for some of the people, but it's a big fuck you to U.S. corporations, because all these corporations, all these big ag interests are getting sugar and getting bananas and getting all this stuff from Cuba. And this action prevents all of them. He stops foreign capabilities to own land or to run plantations. And he even starts to deal with like oil, like factory manufacturing, like all of it. And immediately America is pissed off.
Yeah. And that's, some of that,
well, and that's why and we talked about it too. They that's why they still have cars from the 50s there,
right?
Like, it looks like,
because this is the last time 50s. They got some in.
Yeah.
Not all that happened right away. The land ownership thing did, and some of the other things, like he cut judges and high ranking officials' pay. Anyone that had a rent less than $100, he cut in half. And he started to try to equalize things. And then at some point in time during the whole argument with America, he does finally go, okay, fuck it, and start just taking over. Like Shell had like factories there, like Shell Oil. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the big companies, then he starts nationalizing everything and just fucking takes it all.
And this is, and again, the moment he starts fucking with Shell, America starts getting pissed off.
Yeah, they stop buying sugar. Right. Yeah, like, no more fucking sugar.
It's like, I mean, that was like,
your cigars are banned.
So everybody, I mean, it's all this, you know, great claptrap and all this great rhetoric of we're trying to stop the communist menace and, you know, Castro's evil. Because at this point, the things he had done weren't really bad, but now he's fucking with corporate interests in America. And now America is instantly pissed off.
But at home, he does things like nationalized healthcare. Yep. Like, they didn't have that shit before.
The national healthcare made infant mortality rate drop to one of the lowest in the world. He made literacy rates rise to like 98%.
It's just like the Saddam thing. I mean, he was just trying to bring them to a normal like standard of living, to be honest. But he just fucking stepped on a lot of toes while doing. He should have gone about it slower. Really, he shouldn't fucking have to.
It's his shit.
Like,
yeah, it's like.
But he has some asshole like bully, like we're fucking with him.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, the fact is though that corporations bought into the land, and then he fucking went in and stole it.
The rules changed, and he said, "Fuck off."
And at the end of the day, I mean,
be pissed.
And here's the thing: like up until this point, he hasn't become a tyrant to the people. Like up until this point,
no, he's a tyrant to the U.S.
Right? No, that's the thing. Yeah. Like this is where I'm kind of like, up until this point, I'm still on the Castro train up until now, because a revolution has taken place. They've overthrown someone who's illegally in charge of the country, Batista. He gets appointed, Castro gets appointed as prime minister. He starts making education better, making healthcare better, and says, whatever these foreign countries are who think they own our lands fuck and our off. Oil, go fuck off. We're our own country.
Man, the,
up until now, that seems 100% legitimate.
Yeah. And they 600 miles of roads were built. Like,
yeah, infrastructure.
And it's like
every month. Like it says every month. And then 800 homes are built every month.
And that's like, who the fuck are we?
Insane.
600 miles was built. To fucking be pissed off.
It was the first 6 months. But they did build more schools opened in 30 months than had opened in 30 years.
Yeah.
In his first initial takeover. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was doing really great.
They spent $300 million on one water sanitation projects. Like,
no, but, he's like bringing the country.
But he ain't selling any sugar is the problem. Like now he's got to figure out who he's selling his sugar to.
Yeah, you spent all your money.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are we farming here?
And this is where things start to, like, as soon as America starts to say, we're not going to buy your sugar, this isn't the full on embargo yet, but America's pissed because we've just undercut corporations. They've undercut corporations. So America's pissed off at him. And everything starts to kind of get worse. And in 1959 is where he kind of starts to take a dark dictator turn. And he becomes more radicalized. He starts to do more purges with military government leaders. He gets rid of the president, who was the standing president, has him purged as well. Starts to suppress any media that's critical of his policies. Starts to get rid of freedom of press. Starts to really clamp down on things. And this is where it starts to go south.
And a lot of like higher educated people start leaving the country too. They immigrate to Florida, like doctors, engineers, and like then they, important and then members
they,
of society.
They, right after they got to Florida, they left Florida, apparently.
No, they got gold chains and jumpsuits and started doing coke right away.
Is that the case?
Mm-hmm.
I thought they played baseball.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe. So in 1960, he kind of says, okay, fuck you, America. And he takes a lot of help from the Soviet Union. So the Soviet Union starts to send tons of advisors over to help with Cuba's Defense Committee to get involved in Cuban politics. And then he becomes an integral part of the Cold War that's going on between the Soviet Union and between America. He signs a trade agreement to buy oil from the Soviet Union, establishes diplomatic relations. So he's getting the oil from the Soviet Union, and then U.S.-owned refineries in Cuba refused to process the oil because they couldn't because it's Soviet oil. And then Castro just took over all the refineries and said, fuck you. Yeah. And this is where America gets even more pissed off.
He also gets a $100 million loan from Russia.
USSR. And we talked about why Cuba was important, too, because if Russia is able to have a base on Cuba – so close to the U.S.
Yeah, 90 miles.
You know, this is during the Cold War, you know, so.
Which there was a Kennedy quote about that, too. It's like, it doesn't matter if the nuke that takes us out is 90 miles away, you know, or hundreds of miles away. I mean, there's a response time factor, but either way, we're launching nukes and it's the same end result. It's more of a saving face, like world view of some type of strategic domination or something, you know? Yep.
It's real life monopoly. They took
basically,
Cuba.
They took
Cuba. We lost Cuba.
And at this point, President Eisenhower breaks off diplomatic relations with the Cuban government, won't even fucking talk to him anymore right after the oil shit, because that's, you've gone too far, sir. you know, all the people that you're killing in the streets, we don't give a shit. But if you're fucking with our oil, now it's on. So on April 14th, 1961, Castro formally declares that Cuba is a socialist state. And 3 days later, I didn't know it was this quick. So he says, we're a socialist state.
Fuck off.
We are communist. 3 days later is when the Bay of Pigs happened.
Well, in 1960, Eisenhower authorized, the CIA to attempt to overthrow Castro, and he gave him $13 million to do so. So they were working up towards it.
And again,
that's a good public outcry to be justified, probably. Back, he said it, he's a fucking commie, man.
Exactly. And everybody hates commies. This is the early 60s. So, and at this point, the Bay of Pigs happens. And inside, if you want like a detailed discussion of the Bay of Pigs, go back and listen to our Cuban thing. But basically, the CIA,
I don't remember that.
The CIA trains an army of Cuban nationalists who have left to go and invade Cuba and overthrow Castro. And they attack from the Bay of Pigs, but they get radically outmaneuvered and out, you know, the tactics that Che Guevara uses just destroy them. All kinds of shit goes south. And then he ends up using this to get, Castro ends up using it to get even more power, because now he has evidence for the Cuban people that the Americans have tried to invade us. They're the hostile aggressors. And he ends up getting a lot of people who might have been on the fringe to kind of be more on board with what he was saying. And then this, like, he becomes the main person. He says that we're officially communist, and it all kind of starts to steamroll from here. And then in 1962, just a handful of months later, is when the full economic embargo hits Cuba, which is just now starting to dissolve. And again, you know, so it's like, I can't, even up until now, it's like, I just look at America and the CIA as the bad guys still.
Yeah, we're kind of
I don't know. The big problem is
they made an agreement to sell land or interest, economic interest, whether that be
they don't care. We don't give a shit who's in charge.
Yeah,
somebody fucking that speaks your language sold us shit there, and now you took it from us.
Yeah, basically, like you as a company, as Shell, went and bought stuff there, and you're a special interest, obviously contributing to political campaigns and whatnot. You're Shell, and you bought.
Well, there were no political campaigns. The guy fucking that they bought it from took over.
Right. No, I'm saying as far as in America.
Oh, yeah,
that's a political power Shell. You know what I mean? And so they now have been robbed of their entire refinery, of the land there, of the money that was being made, which I'm sure was a lot.
And not only that, it's the Cold War. When Cuba sides with fucking Russia, America is going to go after them.
I see why America is doing it, but it's still like, I don't know. What are you going to do, really?
I just don't see that it was any of our fucking business.
Well,
it's like, nothing
it's their nation state.
Yeah.
If you had an agreement with a previous, the entire nation state has changed its governance and it's their land.
Yeah.
Like, you're a fucking multinational corporation. You have no rights in this country.
Yeah, but it'd be the same thing. So you own your home and all of a sudden our government changes and they take your home from you. You'd be like, what the fuck? Like, hey, wait a minute.
But I'm a human being, not a corporation.
Doesn't matter. No, I mean, it's the same principle, though.
No, I don't.
If you owned a business, it'd be the same thing. I mean, Brit has a business, and they came in and took his shit. You know, like, and you'd be like, "Hey, what the fuck? I paid for that shit."
There were 383 privately run businesses that were acquired in the nationalization, and 166 U.S. companies that were taken. So, I mean, there has to be some kind of reprimand or recompensation for those things being taken.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe it should be illegal.
Why? The government should have nothing to fucking do with the corporations that are made. Like, who gives a shit?
Well, I don't think the government
was done against the government's America. The government's part wasn't
having to do with the corporations. I think it's more to do with the Cold War. You know what I mean? They're losing to
it's probably
Russia.
Some ego and pride thing.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
It's the same thing. The mind control thing. Like, we think Russia has better mind control. We have to work on it some more.
I think the government sold it as an ego Soviet thing. I think it was purely about fucking money. Period.
Well, for sure.
Because no one did shit until Shell got hurt. As soon as Shell gets a black eye, embargo. Fuck this. And up until
Shell's paying somebody.
It's like, I mean,
Shell's
I
paying
know.
Somebody
I
in the government.
Shell, Standard Oil. There's lots of companies.
But
what do you propose that they do? Nothing?
Ultimately, it's not our fucking problem.
I feel you on some of that.
Fucking so what? Coca-Cola can't fucking get sugar anymore from Cuba. What do I give a fuck? I live in fucking Bakersfield, California. I don't expect us to go to war with Cuba because Coca-Cola can't get fucking cheap sugar anymore. It's not my fucking problem.
They stole the assets and acquired all of the property of U.S. company of 166
didn't
U.S.
didn't steal
companies.
It. It was theirs in the first fucking place. It's Cuban land. It's Cuban property.
That land was purchased by the U.S. interest. Though. That was the point that he was against his whole life, was that the Americans had gone in and purchased up land and financial interest. They had opened up factories and bought land. It was
but
purchased.
Again, corporations bought land.
So what?
And then a country said, fuck you, you don't own this land anymore. The country in that...
That's not okay,
the country
though.
that corporation is housed in shouldn't have anything to fucking say about it.
So you're okay with just embargo, though? Like, not war? Because we should definitely not do dealings with them anymore because they just fucking gated
fuck
on 166 companies that had business dealings with them that they just fucking shut down, not to count the other 300 businesses that were privately owned.
If we started the embargo before there was a black eye on big oil, I would have been a little bit more behind it. But it's like the writing's on the wall. This is obvious. It's just about fucking oil.
Well, it's just
a fucking oil play, period. End of discussion. It's like,
I don't think so.
Castro makes several attempts to speak to United States presidents. They won't let him in the country. They won't talk to him. It's just like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not backing Castro.
Sounds like it.
I'm not backing up until this point. This is where I'm still on the Castro train, but the train leaves the station here within the next year of our timeline and Castro can go fuck himself. But up until this point, I just don't think he's done anything wrong.
I think some type of action is justified, but I'm not saying go fucking bomb people and kill people. That maybe there'd be some type of legal sanction on them, or they should have, instead of just acquiring everything and nationalizing it, saying, hey, this is what's up. We're taking the country in this direction. direction. So there's going to be heavy taxation, or you can go or something like all the products and anything that's produced, it's going to be exported from the facilities that are inside of our country are going to get taxed like crazy or something.
Why?
Get the money.
Why should they do that?
They don't own that stuff. They sold it to someone.
It doesn't matter if it's in our country or somebody else's country. If somebody was able to buy something,
you
regardless
it
whether it's a corporation or not, you can't just take it.
You sold like, it to
regardless.
Them.
So even, and again, I come to the same problem. So even if someone like if fucking Shell owned a refinery and some other country just fucking said, you don't own it anymore, we're taking it back. What the fuck does the U.S. government have to do with Shell losing property? Who gives a fuck?
Why do we ever actually buy anything from anyone if there's just no guarantee? Like, that's not, you can't, you have to have some type of guarantee or else.
Well, but you have trade laws and tariffs, and it's like, this isn't like, this is a foreign country you're dealing with. It's
what
like
if it wasn't
when the
Cuba,
country
what
over
if it was fucking UK or something, and all of a sudden UK said, yeah, we're just taking all these factories, all the candy factories or something, the chocolate factories that some company's using over there. I shouldn't use that. You're going to say Nestle, fuck them. But
no, I'm not going to say
business,
Nestle, fuck them. I'm going to say
the UK
fuck
said,
off.
I just think like you have to think about like, I understand what you're saying about the, what does the government have to do with it? But the, it's part of economy. You
because
know what
they,
I mean?
They're like, the ones like, that enforce had, the trade law. And you know what I mean? Yeah. They're the ones that enforce that. There's an international agreement of law of some sort of ownership to say that they purchased land there and that they set up a business there. And there was an agreement that
and
we
then
paid
like,
X amount of
no,
dollars that we get to do this.
Fuck you guys and
forever.
The government.
And then that contract is just null and void. And
Shell Oil
take it away.
Can't go after them.
Yeah.
It has to be the government.
What's Shell going to do? Sue Castro?
Yeah.
It has to be.
And the,
yeah. Shut the fuck
that's,
up.
I don't know. You know?
I'm Jesus serious. Right. Like, so.
What if
so
Brent?
Because,
what if Brent has a factory?
You're not a corporation, though.
And that's my point. That's the whole point of this argument. What if I have 500 employees as a private individual, you know what I mean? And it's a private business and I have it and it's just taken away from me. Then how do you feel about it?
I still feel like it's a sovereign nation that has its own laws and its own. Like if another nation,
you're saying the business in turn took a gamble buying property
in another nation,
right?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like if the United States government came in and shut down your business and took your home in the United States,
right. It's not okay.
I would cry foul.
That's still not okay.
But when
when
it's another country that's doing it, it's like you said, I think that is how I feel. You took a gamble by buying shit in a foreign country. You have no rights.
I see that point too. But it would be the same thing if, say, we lived somewhere else and we were like, oh, America, we need to put a business there. Toyota, for instance, right. And then all of a sudden we're like, fuck you, Toyota, you're out of here. Like, this is our shit now.
Yep.
Like, is that okay?
Yes.
I don't think so.
This is weird. I say we move on.
Okay. Well, it's all an opinion and a point of view, and maybe, you know, a listener.
It's rare that we hit a nerve like this, though. So I'm just curious.
Well, not really. Now. I mean, you're talking about corporations and you're talking about foreign countries. I mean, not really. Like,
right.
I think the rights of a sovereign state trump the rights of a multinational corporation.
Well, I get
and if
I
a sovereign state.
But it wasn't just the corporation, though. You're breaking international laws that you've agreed upon as a country. You know what I mean?
But
and
you
then you go in and change it.
That's the, I mean, and I guess that's where I'm seeing it as. It's not like the new president who got elected broke all these agreements. There was a fucking violent revolution.
Yeah.
And a new person takes over, and you expect that after this violent revolution that.
Well, there has to be some sort of cooperation. And if there's no cooperation, then fuck you. You know what I mean? Like that's where the war comes in.
I mean, I definitely
there's no cooperation.
You definitely can't continue doing business with that person for sure.
Right.
Yeah. But it's, you have to understand, look at America's history. You're not just going to let this guy come in and kick you in the balls and you're just going, oh, okay.
They sort of have American property, whether it belongs to the corporation or not. The corporation's an American corporation and now they took their property
and
thrown
the Cold War.
Yeah.
I mean, look at us in Saudi Arabia and everything else. I mean, is the war warranted? You know what I mean? Was the Gulf War warranted? Was the war on, you know, looking for weapons of mass destruction? You know what I mean? Like, were those wars warranted? Not really.
No.
I mean, we went into other countries and took what we wanted to take. That's America.
I don't know. I can't back the play that a country says, you don't own this shit here anymore, corporations. And the next thing you know, the president is authorizing the CIA to overthrow the fucking government.
Well, I mean, I as long as, well, and as long as you're okay with the American government taking other people's shit, I mean, that's your point of view.
It's kind of like unions protecting workers or something, sort of.
I mean, it's his point of view that if there's Chinese or Russian or fucking whatever, you know, people who own property in America and corporations, and they're just going to be like, hey, fuck off. American Allen's is property. That's his point of view.
It's Americans looking out for Americans. Like, if the the union thing, is that an analogy for you that works at all?
I don't know.
Well, like, you know what I mean? Like, the union protecting the workers, it's like they're looking out for their best interest of their people, you know?
Yeah, but unions don't go and shut down and be like, no, we're taking your shit.
They fucking make everybody quit working and shut Walmart down.
They're not taking the property.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're not taking what they own.
Right.
No, I'm saying the union is America coming to the plea of the corporation, the worker, because the place Walmart fucking, you know, wasn't treating them right or wasn't doing something right.
That's different. Walmart doesn't lose anything. They can always get more employees, though. Like
that's not one of my points.
It's different analogy. I understand what you're saying.
We're going to ramble about this forever. Yeah, we still have to make it through fucking cold war.
I think we're done. All right, don't be retarded.
So, regardless, this is we're looking at like 61, 62. This is where shit goes south and I get off the Castro train. Cuban Missile Crisis in 62, Nikita Khrushchev puts nukes in Cuba, and there's 13 days of posturing, and we might go to nuclear war. I can't imagine what that would have been like to just be
kids
watching
hiding
the
fucking
news.
Desk.
And
everybody thinks they're going to get fucking vaporized.
I can't even imagine the fucking stress and all that shit. But so eventually, and again, we talk about this on the Cuban episode, we strike a deal. We end up removing missiles from Turkey that we secretly had there, which is about as far away from the Soviet Union as Cuba is to us. So it's like,
and as far as Castro was concerned, he actually wanted Khrushchev to fucking shoot. He said, fire first. They're going to attack.
Right.
Attack is imminent. They know we have nukes. They're going to hit us first.
Right.
And he was trying to tell him like, you need to slow your roll. That's fucking not okay. I did not want war. This was a strategic move. Like, we're going to fucking figure this out. And you're not allowed in the negotiation process because you're fucking a little bit too.
Yeah. Big. You're kind of a little too into this. And then after that, he slowly starts gaining more and more power. He becomes the head of the Communist Party and declares the entire country to be fully communist. And by 1965, he's just like the full-on dictator of the country.
I have to point out one weird little thing. In 63, Castro went to the Soviet Union and Khrushchev let him sign a Soviet R-16 intercontinental ballistic missile. He got to sign it.
He signed an ICB.
He signed a fucking ICB. Like, that's weird. Like this one, you can sign this one. It will go there and kill the Americans. Like, what the fuck are you signing it for? That's weird.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
And that's got to be worth a lot of money.
It's all a fucking power trip.
No, it is. The whole thing is.
It's all a power trip.
Yeah. And at this point, this is when he really, again, this is why I said early on that America keeps like pushing him into a corner. So at this point, the embargo's on. No one can, you know, no Western power can trade with Cuba, et cetera. So they're completely relying on the Soviet Union for their economy. And throughout this time, like in 66, 67, Castro starts to form the Organization for Solidarity with Peoples of Africa, Asia, and Latin America. And he starts sending like trained Cuban troops to support Soviet troops in various countries where there's communist revolutions going on. So he's like actively sending soldiers and actively sending revolutionaries who helped overturn Cuba to go and overturn other countries. And so it's like, granted, the Soviet Union's in a cold war with the United States, but it seems like Castro is in his own cold war with the United States and just doesn't give a fuck. And he's throwing troops and revolutionaries at United States enemies. And everything starts to get worse and worse and worse. And this is when Castro
starts to
kind of go crazy.
His quote was, the duty of a revolution is to make revolution.
Right.
During that time. Yeah,
and he believes it sort of wholeheartedly up until this point. And this, and you know, and again, so in this era, in this Castro era is when he starts to do, like we said, like all the good things that he did for the country, the healthcare, the education, the infant mortality rates, the infrastructure, bridges, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But at the same thing, he's like, at the same time, he's seizing private property from his own citizens. There's 3,615 officially recorded firing squad executions within this time frame. And that's like official. We did it like by the books on a court of law, not like disappeared or we fucking murdered right. someone of them. Like these were like shown on television, like full. So
it was reality it was TV. Super. We've come a long way.
Basically. Yeah.
Super against prostitutes and homosexuals. He would go after them.
Yeah. He went after everybody. And then like Che Guevara himself was on 100 of the firing squads. And he said, quote, to send men to the firing squad, judicial proof is unnecessary. These procedures are an archaic bourgeois detail. This is a revolution and a revolutionary must become a cold killing machine. Fuck motivated by pure hate.
These guys are fucking. Yeah. They just turned.
And
nuts.
Everybody just loves wearing that Che Guevara shirt because he's a revolutionary, even though he's just fucking in firing squad shooting people. But so again, this is where I get off the train. Right? He starts to.
You keep saying that you're still on it. And
no, I'm not anymore. Like, this is the point where there's no more. There's no more human rights. He starts to have what they call UMAPs, UMAPs, which are like military labor prisons. He starts to like anybody who doesn't volunteer to work on behalf of the revolution. If you're a homosexual, a Jehovah's Witness, a Seventh-day Adventist, a Catholic or a Protestant, or if you just refuse to be part of the collective and to give up your stuff, you're just sent to fucking hard labor, no trial,
or the military,
no human rights, or the military. So it's like, you know, like I said, especially, you know, homosexuality is frowned upon and punished and all this different stuff. And
he eventually apologizes for some of that later.
Oh, that's good then.
Yeah. I'm sorry, guys.
Sorry for all those firing squads.
He found Jesus.
Yeah.
Shot your mom in the pussy.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry about that.
Brad Taylor, 2016.
So this is where I get off of the Castro train. So I,
you've been getting off for a long ass time.
Yeah, I'm off of it
getting off. He just meant he's fucking.
I'm getting masturbated all over that train.
By the 60s, he's become the dictator that he was afraid of and that he was overthrowing, and he's imprisoning his own people and doing horrible shit to the Cubans, and people are fleeing the country in droves because they're afraid anyone. And that was why I wanted to have Rene Trujillo on the Cuban show, because he himself, his father was a doctor and his father was against Castro. And they had to flee the country for fear of his father's life. Like they thought he was going to get killed. So they had to leave the country.
A lot of times they just let him go too. They were like, if you want to leave, leave. Cause we don't want you here. Yeah. If you don't want to be here.
Yeah, they did. And I was tripping on that because apparently in 1980, he had a thing where he opened up the port of Mariel and he allowed Cubans living in basically anywhere, but primarily Miami. He said, if you want to come down here in boats and pick up any of your relatives that you want to
come get them.
Take them and get the fuck out.
120,000
people left. Yeah. And what he didn't tell them, and this is kind of a jack move, is when the boat would show up and they would be there to get their parents, he would also take that same boat and he would throw on prison inmates, mental patients, homosexuals, everybody who he didn't want. He would be like, oh, so you got room for what on that boat? About 20 and you're here to pick up four relatives. Here's eight mental patients, four homosexuals, and four murderers.
And they weren't cruise ships either. Like it was fucking.
No, it was just fucking whatever you could stick people in.
Fucking tree. So he let them
come and take their relatives. But then however many people he would fit on the boat, he would fit on the boat and say, take these people the fuck out of here too.
Yeah.
So he ends up getting rid of all of what he considers to be the undesirables in Cuba.
120,000
people. Yeah. Mass just excess. Fucking get out, you know? And again, if you were afraid of speaking up against Castro, I mean, it's a brilliant move,
right?
Like your most,
and it's like, that many mouths you don't have to feed.
That many mouths you don't have to feed. Like, it's that many people who are just going to oppose you anyway,
right.
And you're giving them a free pass to get the fuck out. Like,
but then as the United States, we're like, let them in. That's crazy. What are you going to do?
Right. What are you going to do? Right. I mean, you're talking this big game that we're having this embargo and that Castro's evil and all this shit. It's like if all these people are suddenly given a pass to leave the country and they have American, you know, citizens as relatives, like, are you just going to fucking turn them away? Like, they didn't. They accept, you know.
It's like leaving puppies on Dave's porch, man. He'd have to take them. He can't help it. That's right. He'd be like, oh, I got 12 dogs now. Brad would make kebabs or just take them to the pound. Me, if they show up my porch, I was taking them to your guys' house. I'd take them to Dave's house.
Yeah.
I feel better about myself when I did it.
Yeah. And then throughout this whole thing, he's got all these ties to the Soviet Union. These are sort of these years of oppression. And when the Soviet Union collapses in 91 is when Cuba really sort of royally gets fucked. Because
at some point in time during Reagan's administration, he actually accused the U.S. of a biological attack. Like, I guess there was a mass thing where a lot of people in Cuba got sick. Yeah, it said in 81, he accused the U.S. of biological warfare against Cuba, orchestrating some crazy word, but some kind of fever epidemic. So there was a widespread something that happened with fever.
That's crazy.
And he actually accused us, which we know that during the Reagan administration, he did fucking make available plans for chemical warfare factories. Right. It's not that far-fetched, actually, based on what we know of that administration.
Right, right.
That's kind of scary.
So at this point, after the Soviet Union collapses, there's no more market for Cuban sugar and you know, there's no market at
all.
Slim
pickings. Some of the pictures, their economy declined like 40% in 2 years or something. And there was just like nothing on the shelves. People were just like skinny.
Yep.
And like even the rationing.
North Korea.
Yeah, it was bad. It was like fucking.
And this is when Castro starts to try to open talks on a couple of occasions with America to end or lessen the embargo. And America's like, nope, fuck off. Like, go ahead and quit. And we'll talk about it. And at this point, you know, we won't back down and Castro won't back down. So the Cuban people are who suffer. So there's
yeah, no, what a piece of shit. Yeah. Like, you went in it for the Cuban people and then you just fuck them over.
Right.
Royally.
Yeah. Yeah. And once the Soviet Union collapses, the place is just fucked and everybody's starving and there's no economy at all. And everything is just fucking bad. I mean, from bad to worse. And that tends to be the case for decades. I mean, some tourism starts to creep back in because other countries, one by one, kind of don't give a shit about the embargo over the years. So America still can't go there, still can't whatever. But it's like if you were from other countries, if you're from Spain and you wanted to go visit Cuba and have a vacation, fuck it. Go for it.
Or you're Jay-Z. Like,
oh, did Jay-Z
go? Jay-Z went.
Celebrities can go.
Because fucking Obama.
But a lot of people from other countries, like other countries, it was still a popular tourist destination because it was fucking dirt cheap. It's like I can eat for nothing. like I can have a really cheap, really cool vacation on a beautiful beach in the Caribbean and spend hardly any money because there's no fucking economy there.
Yeah, they kind of just looked away from prostitution because it stimulated the tourism thing actually at some point.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's between crazy. 1990 and 2000, China imported a bunch of bicycles to replace the cars because cars had, you know, they're starting to fall apart.
Batteries and
gas,
parts.
You need resources to keep those going.
Right.
So somehow I don't know what they paid with, but China imported a bunch of bicycles at that point. And then somewhere around 2000, Castro actually negotiated a one-time purchase of food because they had a hurricane that decimated their sugar crop.
Yeah, a hurricane came in and actually, you know, it was still kind of a fuck you move because the everybody was offering aid to Cuba and the United States offered a bunch of food aid to Cuba. And Castro said, we will not accept your food aid.
But I'll
pay you for it.
Yeah.
So it was like even when the U.S. was like, we'd like to send you all this free food because of the hurricane. He's like, fuck you. We'll buy it.
Yeah. And at that point, because they didn't meet their quota for exportation of sugar that for the agreements they had with, like, I don't know, whoever, the Soviets or something, he actually agreed to volunteer his resignation, which that's not the first time he volunteered to resign, actually. And although there's all this outcrying against him, the people still rallied against him and begged him to stay in office. They still wanted him to stay.
And that's what's weird because and you hear about like other things. It's like, oh, fucking Saddam Hussein won with 100% of the vote. But it's like you tend to hear shit about Cuba where like a lot of the people in Cuba honestly want, like, it
like
wasn't
500,000
kind of
people came out to the street and said, no, don't, we want you here. Like, they love him. They love his personality. There was some cool quote about never before had a society rallied around and been so like engulfed in a personality.
They rally around their families.
Yeah, with a pocket full of shells.
They rally around their families.
So he, I mean, and this is pretty much the status quo all the way through it. In 2006, he ended up having some kind of surgery for gastrointestinal bleeding. And then in July 31st of 2006, he declared his brother Raul to be the temporary leader of the country. And then he would only appear in videos. He wouldn't appear in public anymore because his health was failing. And then in 2008, Castro completely gave up the presidency and handed it over to his brother, who was 76 at the time.
George Bush, did you see what he said about Fidel?
Mm-mm.
He said, one day the good Lord will take Fidel Castro away. And Fidel was an atheist. And he said, well, clearly the good Lord's protecting me because I keep living. Right. He actually was quoted also to say that if assassinations were an Olympic sport, he'd have a gold medal.
He said he'd have two gold medals.
Two gold medals, yeah.
So at this point, and he ends up having a column in his paper, which is still called The Movement, and the column is called Reflections of Fidel.
Hmm.
Nice. And he would write like his biography, different moments about his life. And I think this is probably the cult of Fidel, why a lot of people in Cuba were sad that he died, because this is all they've known, you know. Right. But then a lot of people were pretty fucking happy that he died.
Those were the people that stayed. You know what I mean? Right. Like, yeah. They stayed.
Right.
I mean, possibly they could have hated America too. You know what I mean? They could have hated everything about everything that and everything that he did. They were with, you know, so they were okay with it. Right. Even though the economy was suffering, they knew they had to endure that because that was their mission. You know what I mean?
Right.
They succeeded in doing what they wanted to do.
Right.
So
he was awarded several awards too. I can't read, like the Chinese Confucius something Peace Prize.
Hmm.
And then also another, like other governments awarded him for like peace and nobility and whatnot.
Other communist governments?
Maybe.
Some, yeah.
He got the firing squad award.
That's right. Yeah. Two gold medals.
It's a gold rifle. Yeah, like gangster style.
And again, like the accounts, according to the head of Cuban intelligence, were that in total, there were 638 assassination attempts on his life from the CIA alone, which I kind of call bullshit on.
Yeah.
I mean, the CIA can't be that bad at killing people. Like, you can't try 638 times.
Yeah. Well, like, they should have sent the mob in.
You didn't try, you know, a guy with a high-powered rifle in a fucking...
We have sniper rifles that can shoot five miles.
It's like, come on, you couldn't have fucking killed him.
Yeah.
Like,
that's what I was saying in the beginning.
I don't buy that number.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's sort of Cuban propaganda, but I do know that there's a lot of evidence and solid claims of CIA assassination attempts. And why would you be surprised at anything the fucking CIA did in the 60s?
No.
They were fucking insane in this. And I say it past tense as if everything's cool now.
Yeah. No, they're legitimate now.
Yeah. But again, showing this dichotomy of the way people feel about it, it's like you end up seeing some people celebrating in Miami. You end up seeing big groups of mourners in Havana, you know, with his death. And one article I read, there was a guy named Jay Fernandez who fled. He's 72 now, and he fled when he was 18 in 1961. He was part of like the early people who left. And he said from Miami, "We're celebrating this like a carnival. Satan, Fidel is now yours. Give him what he deserves. Don't let him rest in peace."
That's probably going to be like a South Park episode.
There's like a lot.
The pineapple. I mean,
so people hated him, and rightfully fucking so. They should. And people loved him because, honestly, rightfully so, a lot of them should. It's like he did a lot of good things for the country, especially early on in his tenure.
He just worked for like what he believed. If you were against him, then you're fucking good luck.
Right.
But if you're with him, he loved you like family. That was the thing. Like, he would go out and meet people. And he said he considered the people of Cuba his family. But if someone opposed him, it's just, yeah, it's fucking firing squad.
You're getting fucking scratched out.
His work ethic, they said he would work till 3 or 4 in the morning. That was super common. He would even try to hold meetings with other diplomats at that time because he felt like they'd be tired and he'd have the upper hand because he was able to work through those hours of the night. I don't know. I think he just... he just fucking believed what he believed and stayed fucking true north on that shit. Yeah. Like he fucking went for it the whole way.
Communist to the end. Prick.
Yeah.
I don't know if he did that. I feel like there's like,
he changed.
I feel there was a shift.
There was a shift. There's a shift. You have to.
No.
Well, no, I think there was a shift in the middle and then another shift at the end. I think
he could have stayed. Good. You know what I mean? I think he could have stayed where Cuba would have been profitable. It's kind of hard to go against the United States, though. It's a tricky game of the fucking global. Yeah. Well, United States is going to push to get what they want to get, you know?
And I think
he wasn't willing to give.
To compromise his
beliefs. The Cold War twisted him. Cold War twisted him and pushed him and started to turn him into a despot.
Telling what the Soviets got into him, you know what I mean? They had the mind control.
Right.
You know, they had the upper hand on the mind control, and he's over there signing warheads. You know what I mean? So he has this fucking power trip.
Right.
That's a little power trip.
I mean, it's legit. Like, and I say that, that shit was real. Like we talked about it. That shit really happened. Yep. Who knows what the fuck they did to him?
Yeah. So no, I mean, there's no excusing the human rights, violations. There's no excusing the fucking firing squads. Like, and obviously a great many people whose families suffered under him and were killed are very glad that he's no longer ruling the country. And his brother said that he was going to stop. His brother said he was going to, like, in 2018, his term is up, and he said he's not running again. So in 2018,
he's giving it up.
It's fucking up for grabs. Like, who knows what'll happen? I mean, I personally hope it all just fucking opens up.
Yeah.
I
would like to go to Cuba.
A lot of people don't want to see it become nothing but owned by Hilton and fucking Starbucks. Yeah. And I mean, it would be, just like every other, vacation spot. A lot of people want that, classic Cuba to be, kept, but I don't know what that means. Classic Cuba, like this shit was in turmoil for the as long as anybody's been alive.
Are we keeping it poor? Are we going to let people have food?
Exactly.
Like, what are we doing here?
We're going to keep them driving. Yeah. I only want to go
keep
on vacation.
Riding the bikes.
They're still riding a 1958 piece of shit car and they're hungry. Like, I only want to go if it's
they're
really
riding
cheap.
A 1982 Huffy around. Yeah. Like, fucking rusty ass handlebars and a squeak. Yeah.
A mongoose.
Yeah. Have that Murray beach cruiser we're just trolling around on. It's not like Debo riding down the street.
You know what my first bike was?
What?
Fucking Knight Rider.
You had the weird plasticking on the front?
I did.
That's funny.
I'm trying to.
It was fucking dope.
I've had so many bikes because I rode bikes.
All I care is when I got a new bike that I also got that new fucking yellow megaphone thing that you could talk through and it had sirens and shit on it.
I didn't have a gay ass bike like that.
No, the bike was fucking BMX.
My dad bought me, I think I was probably in like the sixth grade. I had it was a free agent. It was all fixed up and shit, but the serial numbers were grinding off of it.
Yes.
So. That's what I got for my birthday.
I still have photos of me with a big ass orange afro riding my fucking Knight Rider bike around the conference center in Michigan. It's
love to see
dope.
Those, sir. Love to see that.
One cool thing is the guy across the street from me, my friend, his brother looked like B Real from Cypress Hill, and he always listened to Cypress Hill, and they bagged up weed on the kitchen table, like tons of weed. And his buddy, I don't know how good of friends we are, but they were, his buddy was Tom Knox, the pro skater, which I didn't know who he was at the time. I was younger, but they would always give us skateboards and stuff. So it was kind of cool. But
that is cool.
Yeah. Anyway.
Sponsors.
I just figured out we fucked up last week.
What?
You
fucked up.
I don't think we did Daily Own.
We did.
Yeah, we did. Sure, we talked about the dick pillows and everything.
Yeah, last week? It's all a blur. Anyway. It's a blur of dick pillows to me.
Who gives a shit?
Green jacket.
Gold jacket. Who gives a donkey dick?
He's brainwashed. If you say green jacket to Brad, he can't help but finish the sentence.
Right.
Do it again.
You got echelon.
Do it again.
Gold jacket.
Gold jacket.
You'll go home and say it. You're going to whisper it under your breath. You're going to start scratching your nose and shit. And
I'm not fucked up like you.
Shoulders lifting. Mine are lifting because you're not saying it, actually. I'm not fucked up. It's bothering me that you're not finishing it now.
Green jacket.
Who gives a shit? Okay, now we can go. All right. Thank you, El Yucateco Hot Sauce. Someone else posted it at fucking Target and said there's a huge display of it at Target. So you can fucking get it at Target.
Yeah, but there's a billion Targets. I don't think they all have it.
I think they do.
I don't think so.
I think we should go on a tour in my bus at 55 miles an hour.
Ain't riding in that piece of shit.
You son of a bitch.
Probably turned to dust in there.
How many turned to dust?
No, how many hippies have fucked in that bus?
A bunch, I hope.
Thing.
I hope there's some cool history.
Fucking going to be long-ass fucking pubic hair everywhere in there.
That's floss. I told you, man. You save it up. You wrap it up in your fucking pocket. Put it away, man. So thank you, El Yucateco Hot Sauce.
Make a hairball.
For your sponsorship. You're delicious, and we love you. I put you on Thanksgiving. Now I put you in beers. That's kind of a weird thing, but I didn't know I could drink it, man. Now I know. So if you haven't tried drinking El Yucateco, as long as you dilute it in something like a beer, go ahead and try that. Thank you to PrintDirtCheap.com. You can log onto their website and get all kinds of sticky stuff and non-sticky stuff printed.
I don't like how you say that.
What do you want to say?
Print. You say print.
Do you know why I say that way?
Why?
Because my name is Brent, and I will fucking say my name every time if I don't.
Oh, you have to.
Yeah, I have to say
I just
that
don't
way.
Like how you do it.
Well, maybe you should fucking do it if you don't like it.
I don't want to. You're doing it.
Exactly. Then shut
you took it
fucking
over.
Mouth,
you
man.
Started doing it.
All right. Thank you to DeLeon Graphics for our t-shirts, sweatshirts, koozies, and all the shit you make for us.
Soon to be received, available dick pillows.
Yes. I actually should just have him make a dick pillow for us so we can put it in the corner of the studio, man. We should do that. We'll hanging up like a flag.
Sounds good.
Yeah. It has to be Gary Coleman's dick pillow, though. So it's going to be like a little Gary Coleman, but just pitching a tent, man. So it's not like it's indirect dick pillow. We just see Coleman pitching a tent. You're supposed to blame Castro on Coleman. And you didn't. So
I don't know.
Yeah. So I had to get
I hurt my somewhere. Back in the middle of the episode.
Did you? Is that why you're yeah. fucking stretching out and doing
fuck,
all that shit?
Man. I like herniated disc. Like it was hurting into my throat.
I was wondering. You had your arms up a whole lot. You're doing the YMCA shit. I thought you were just doing
hurting.
The village.
I thought I was going to pass out.
Thank you, Digital Creations, for our coffee mugs and everything you make for us. Thank you to Dan Camarillo Jiu-Jitsu. You can log on to armhunter.com for apparel and instructional DVDs. That's all I got.
Get a gi.
And a gi.
Go get a gi.
They're cheap right now. It's like $112 or some shit.
What?
Yeah.
They're getting cheaper.
Yeah. $112. I think I saw that.
Damn.
And I'm going to
Black Friday.
I'm curious to see if anything will come of this, but I'm going to be a whore for a second. And I'm going to say that if anybody is eating Doritos or drinking Mountain Dew with a Titanfall 2 code, you should send me that fucking code. So I can, if you already did it, then I can't use your code. But if you have a Titanfall 2 code on your Mountain Dew or Doritos, you can send them to me directly on an Instagram message and I will be very happy.
Oh, what do you get for that? You're both drinking Mountain Dew?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Dave, you're white trash, man. What happened?
I always drink Mountain Dew.
I always drink Mountain Dew on our evening shoots.
Huh. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to be the white trash guy doing that.
Yeah. Well, you're drinking a
what do you
whiskey.
Get for
you drink
code?
Like half a bottle.
What do you get for the code?
You get like double experience and you get like unlocks of some like weapons and all kinds of shit for entering the codes. I haven't entered any of them yet because I've only got a handful of them and I don't want to log in for an account.
A whole bunch of dudes that ride dirt bikes that just don't give a fuck about Titanfall. They're totally going to send that to you. You're going to get some codes.
I'm curious. And
send
I'm hopeful.
Picks too.
No.
Yeah, send a couple
just
dick
the code.
Codes.
Just like just put, the code. Put the lid. Put the lid covering the head of your dick.
Yeah. Hold it down like you do the okay sign. Yeah. Just right by your dick and it'll have to zoom and crop to the left. He'll be like, ooh, I don't want to look, but I want that code. Yeah. And it'll have to fucking zoom in and scoot over.
Yeah. Just put it right there on the tip.
Yep. Type the code across dicks.
God damn you.
Hell, Brent. Stick it like just poke it into your dog's ass and take a picture. Just that code right there. Not really.
I wanted to give a shout out to Tyler Mott. That's the guy that keeps making those elaborate pictures that include every little funny detail of our fucking episode. I'm always looking forward.
Dope.
Did you see the private, the secret prison doormat? And there was a Slurpee machine. Yeah, he doesn't miss a detail. Yeah, two gas masks.
Too much time on his hands. No, I wish I had that much time.
I appreciate it. I think it's fucking hilarious.
Anyway.
That's all I got. Tyler Mott.
All right.
We weren't going to talk about the half speed.
That shit's hilarious.
All right, next episode. All right. Don't be retarded.
As you know, we have the full power in Cuba. The revolution. Destroy all the enemy army. After a hard fight. And when we took the power, which were our systems? Free press. So I believe. Okay.
I make hits, moving at a fast rate. That'll get me to the top quicker than that Super 8. On the interstate, moving at a fast pace. And being broke, man, it's a bad taste. Smell the rubber as it burn. Young nigga as I earn. Educate and I will learn. And I always stand firm. The memoirs of a young stud with a lantern. Moving through the dark and you can see the fire as it burns. No watch as a go-go, moving in my solo. Got a lot of mojo, moving in my slow-mo. Had a bad bitch and she always just
to go low. Strap heavy in the club, kinda like a sumo. This is how we do though. Rob a nigga, then I go. Sipping on the Hennessy, mixing with that Nouveau. Swag so G, and my team got real though. And money on my mind is my motherfucking logo. Do it, do it, we gotta get it, gotta go. Gotta keep it going till we rich with a lot of dough. This is how we do it, sucker. I don't think you really know. And I'm all on my own. You can call me Fidel Castro. Do it, do it. We gotta get it, gotta go. Gotta keep it going till we rich with a lot of dough. This is how we do it, sucker. I don't think you really know. And I'm all on my own. You can call me Fidel Castro. The Grim Reaper living life after death. Running fast, breathing hard, I'm out of breath. Uphill battle, climb the steps. Fuck a girl and she didn't even come yet. Running fast, feeling like I gotta go. Number one, flowing like the water flow. Living life, I'm staying on a high note. Head first and I don't need a lifeboat. Everything is gonna be, everything is everything. Only if you let it be. Got me feeling open, vulnerable to my enemies. My will is so strong and you will never be a friend of me. Always be my enemy, fighting for my rights. You will never see the end of me. I am so much better, you will never get the best of me. You could try to take it, you will never get the rest of me. A young butterfly, transformed from a centipede. Do it, we gotta get it, gotta go. Gotta keep it going till we rich with a lot of dough. This is how we do it, sucker, I don't think you really know. And I'm all on my own, you can call me Fidel Castro. Do it, we gotta get it, gotta go. Gotta keep it going till we rich with a lot of dough. This is how we do it, sucker, I don't think you really know. And I'm all on my own, you can call me Fidel Castro.
Y esos valores ahora estarán presentes. Ahora este país se le pide un internacionalismo. Una misión internacionalista extraordinaria. Salvar la revolución en Cuba. Salvar el socialismo en Cuba.
As you know, we have the full power in Cuba. The revolution. Destroy all the enemy armies.